few years ago, not so long ago, big producers or small producers would measure their margins in, the hundreds of dollars. Now they're measuring their margins in the thousands of dollars per ounce produced. It's a complete shift. And of course, that has implications for for valuations. But the sector, it's still kind of forgotten or ignored for by most of the generalists. And the valuations of different companies have been going up at different rates. And I guess we've been flying a little bit under the radar, kind of underappreciated, underrecognized, and people are starting to, wake up and smell the coffee.
Right.
The fact that we have two mine permits, we have five best producing mines and two mine permits that came attached to the best producing mines, puts us in a very unique re-permitting timeline. It's not like we can snap the finger and can start producing tomorrow, but it reduces the re-permitting timelines to 1.5, 2 years. In the case of this, is what we see for our high-grade underground vein systems. We have basically metallurgical studies and a PEA coming for the Taurus deposit.
Great.
So that's coming in the next few months, and I think that's going to, crystallize a lot of value. It's going to be, advancing and de-risking the project. And I've been talking to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are not only interested to see how the PEA looks like in terms of the numbers, NPV, IRR, et cetera, with the conservative assumptions of whatever, 3,500 US gold price per ounce, or maybe 4,000, depending on what's going to be like the 2 or 3 year average.
Marco Rock, Cassiar Gold. Good morning. How's it going, man?
Good morning, Andy. Things are great. And with you?
Yeah, things are really good on my end. But really want to chat with you. Really looking forward to you. By the way, I met some of your team at PDAC. What a man, it was just busier than the vibe. I think the vibe and the energy was the best I've ever seen it. And it helped me have 5,000 gold
That helps.
and pushing 100 silver. So that helps a lot. But really, why I want to get on with you is to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor in Cassiar Gold. A lot of my friends here in Atlanta, shout out to all of them. They are also investors. Marco has spent a quite deal of time in Atlanta with that market and with me. And Cassiar Gold, as we were talking, you guys are really catching a bid, but yet there's still a lot of value relative to your peers. But let's start. I'm like scouring. Why are you guys? Why now? Talk about that. Why do you see now? I haven't seen any news hit, even though I know a lot of news is coming, but talk about that.
Yeah, well, why now? Like, or why not? I mean, we've been undervalued for a little bit, been pounding the table for a while, mentioning that, and I think people are starting to see the opportunity. Obviously, the gold price changes a lot of things. Like it's a really high gold price. A few years ago, not so long ago, big producers or small producers would measure their margins in, the hundreds of dollars. Now they're me measuring their margins in the thousands of dollars per ounce produced. It's a complete shift. And of course, that has implications for for valuations. But the sector, it's still kind of forgotten or ignored for by most of the generalists, and the valuations of different companies have been going up at different rates. And I guess we've been flying a little bit under the radar, kind of underappreciated, underrecognized, and people are starting to, wake up and smell the coffee.
All right. Well, I think that's it. And it was just racking my mind about why now. And again, you just said why not? And I would say it's about time. And then what I mean by that, it's not indicative of you or Cassiar Gold. I think it's the market is finally, and you and I have talked offline many times about just the market and the markets being efficient in general, inefficient, but efficient over time, but short-term inefficient. And I think that's somewhat what we're seeing right now. It's just the market's finally sniffing out just the value that you guys have. And I've been pounding the table to my viewers, as well as to my friend group in Atlanta, is like, what's the best value? I get asked that question a lot. Again, this is not investment advice to all you out there, but Cassiar Gold was at the top of my list really for about, I would say, 9 months relatively. Again, because when I saw everything else move, you guys weren't. And I think it's just a matter of just a short-term inefficiency of the market, just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, and like, I think the question you're having there, I think it's a question that's happening a lot right now, because in the last, say, year or so, you've seen a lot of like exploration development companies take off. And a lot of people, sitting on 5, 10x, 20x gains on their stocks, and they're realizing, well, I have, say, 3, 4, 5 million ounce project. That's maybe trading in, a few hundred million dollars market cap, or some of them in several billions. And they're thinking, like, can I find value somewhere else? Can I find an equivalent project at a fraction of the valuation? And here we are. This is, this is us. And you see, I think to a certain extent, is that people like sitting on huge profits, looking for value, looking for the next one. We also have obviously a very unique project, which it's quite unique in a lot of ways. And that's it, to be honest, we've also been like getting a lot of inbound. And I just spent 2 weeks in Toronto, and it's the interest I've seen from all sorts of players, from retail investors, from institutional investors, from strategics, from both private and public mining companies, producers, etc. It's an interest like I really never seen before, and it's great. And again, I think it boils down to the relative valuation to a certain extent, and to another extent as well, is really just a when you compute the current gold price and you look at the margins, it's really incredible what projects like these can be spewing out in terms of cash flow.
I couldn't agree more about the uniqueness. What I see is what really makes you, again, not only that you have what the assets you have in the ground. Again, that's really full stop, mic drop right there. But to work that out a little bit more, what makes you very attractive to me as an investor, you're in BC, and I typically avoid BC, or I don't want to say avoid, but I'm very suspicious of BC. I want a deep dig a lot deeper. You guys, what makes you attractive to me as an investor is you guys are fully permitted and you have a mill. So it's not only do you have the assets, it's really go time for you. Correct me if I'm wrong and work that out for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, British Columbia has,
Well
there's this thing.
endowed. It's just a problem
Yeah, no,
getting the
geologically is
assets out.
amazing. And it is very well endowed. But it suffers from this perception of being extremely slow to permit. And to a certain extent, for a lot of projects, that has been the case. I guess our advantage, being in BC, is we benefit from that geological endowment, no doubt. And we have a 60,000 or 59,000 hectare land package. That's just under 600 square kilometer, which is,
Massive.
year in, year out. It's been delivering, expansion through drilling. We keep on finding more gold in every single drill campaign, almost every single drill hole. But in what relates to kind of the pushback people have on British Columbia is really the permitting timelines. But the fact that we have two mine permits, we have five best producing mines, and two mine permits that came attached to the best producing mines, puts us in a very unique re-permitting timeline. It's not like we can snap the finger and can start producing tomorrow, but it reduces the re-permitting timelines to 1.5, 2 years, In the case of this is what we see for our high-grade underground vein systems, you know, talking with our permitting experts. And for the bulk tonnage, you know, the bulk tonnage open pittable deposit we see as a kind of a 5-year development timeline, but actually the critical path for re-permitting will be shorter than that. So that's, you know, some people get scared about the potential of 6, 8, 10-year timeline for permitting in BC. And for greenfield projects, for a lot of greenfield projects, that has been the case. We have both a brownfield project as well as mine permits that puts it in a completely separate, you know,
Right.
permitting track. And we also have a fully owned permitted mill, as you mentioned, which, you know, in addition to that, it is also extremely unique and puts us, you know, in a very unique position as well. And all the rest of the infrastructure, because it's not just the mine permits and the fully owned permitted mill. We have paved roads straight to our deposits. We have dozens of kilometers of paved roads. We have 160 kilometers of mining roads. We have power, water. We have 25 kilometers of underground workings. You know, for the people who know how much this costs to replicate, they will know this is many times, many, many times our market cap. And it really highlights how undervalued we are, regardless of our resource inventory, which is also
Right.
very, very substantial.
Yep. So about that, I was thinking I'm an investor in another project in that area. Yeah, and I won't name drop them, but you remind me so much, you might know who I'm talking about. You remind me so much about them because of all of the, you're in BC, your land package is huge, and I think that is not even really being valued in. And then but then you're just permitted and you have a mill. It's almost like the mill could act as a toll in the surrounding area. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know. The mill that we have is 300 tons per day. It's kind of a baby mill, depending on what type of grade you put there. You know, these days it's you know, you're typically most projects that you see, you know, the relatively big ones, like the Taurus deposit. Our Taurus deposit, the combined resource grade is just over 1 gram per ton starting at surface. And most of the projects you see out there are as well, you know, I'm thinking about, for example, Snowline, which is in the Yukon further north. Like their grades compare relatively well with
Yeah.
us. Other projects across BC and the Yukon, kind of like that. But we have this high grade material that has historically produced at 10 to 20 grams per ton. The average grade historically is 16 grams per ton. That's very juicy. At 16 grams per ton, if you're putting 16 grams per ton on our mill could be spewing out over 45,000 ounces per year. So like it's a baby mill, but it's actually, when you compute the grade,
Yeah.
it's actually quite significant in terms of ounces. And you know, gold is no longer trading at 1,500. So
Right.
45,000 ounces a year, it's a significant you know, cash flow potential.
Yeah.
So you know, that really highlights the value of our mill. Now, like basically from our mill, almost 30 kilometers in each direction, it's all our land package. And there's not much around, to be honest,
Sure.
in terms of discovery. So,
And
first
that's
of
fine.
all,
It would just be you then. Then that's fine.
yeah,
Yeah.
and we have extended the high grade vein, so we clearly see a path to, you know, reactivate the south and feed the mill with the high grade veins that we have, which we've extended all of them.
Yeah.
So I don't think, number one, it wouldn't be economic, or it definitely wouldn't be economic, to put the, you know, 1 to 2 gram material that we have at Cassiar North at the Taurus deposits in our mill, because the grade is just too small, so you wouldn't
Yeah.
yield to a big amount of ounces. And so, you know, it would only be valuable if we put high grade material there, which we have. Now, we don't have anyone else around there, but we don't need it. Like, we have our own material. So our goal is to really continue to
Yeah.
extend those veins so we can keep, when it's time to activate, which is something we're evaluating right now, that mill,
Yeah.
you know, we can feed that kind of material that can have a meaningful production in terms of ounces.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit more about through the rest of the year here. What catalysts do you have coming up? I mean, I can't believe we're almost halfway through March. as this drops. What other catalysts do you have coming? I know the news is going to be not dripping but flowing. Talk to me about that and why this might be. I don't want, you never want to say this is the last time you get stuff cheap, but you guys have been taking off, so it might be the last time you see these prices here with you. So go ahead.
I think so too. I think you really might be. I would probably bet it might be. But in terms of catalysts, so I can only tell you so much, but we have basically metallurgical studies and a PEA coming for the Taurus deposit.
Great.
So that's coming in the next few months. And I think that's going to, crystallize a lot of value. It's going to be, advancing and de-risking the project. And, I've been talking to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are not only interested to see how the PEA looks like in terms of the numbers, NPV, IRR, et cetera. With the conservative assumptions of whatever 3,500 US gold price per ounce, or maybe 4,000, depending on what's going to be like the 2 or 3 year average, but really at spot prices, because these studies tend to be very conservative,
Yeah, very conservative.
and especially when the gold price moves so much, because they use the 2 or 3 year trailing gold price. That's going to be relatively conservative when you look at the gold price trading between 5 or 5,500 per ounce. There's quite an excitement to see what the number's going to look like. On top of that, we're looking to drill about 10 to 20,000 meters. With half, we're planning to allocate towards expanding our bulk tonnage targets. The Taurus deposit is basically open for expansion laterally and at depth. We've been really making some advances at the New Coast target as well, which is about 2 to 2.5 kilometers south of Taurus. We believe to have the potential to have another Taurus just at New Coast. But we have several outlying targets, just like New Coast, just like Taurus. They all kind of look alike, the rocks, similar style veining, similar alterations, similar mineralization, similar grades, typically
Great.
0.5 gram to 2 grams from surface. Snow Creek, about 3 kilometers east northeast of Taurus, and along the we have those extensional veins at Taurus pointing at Snow Creek, and you can see the outcrop of these extensional veins at Snow Creek pointing at Taurus, and there's basically overburden in between, which means they could be connected. Owl Rock, which is about 2 kilometers east of Taurus, Lucky, about 4 kilometers to the northwest of Taurus. So we're seeing a lot of evidence both on outcrop with the grades that we see in drilling, in geophysics. So there's a big potential there, and that's where we're going to be looking to put about half of the drilling. The other half is going to the Cassiar South area, and we're looking to continue to extend the known vein systems. We have four best producing vein systems, the ones that yielded on average 16 grams per ton. Just look to continue to extend and also potentially find blind trying to look for a blind discovery of new veins, because we have a 9 kilometer strike length that the periodicity suggests that every 400 to 600 meters there's a potential for a parallel vein, and we only have four vein systems as of now, so there could be dozens of these parallel and stacked vein systems. Each of them can carry 150,000 ounces or more. Just a discovery of one vein can keep that mill fed for a while, and we will also continue to extend the known veins as well. So I think it's going to be kind of a quite exciting drill campaign, and the grades that we have in the south are just really crazy when you think about it, and you can see
Yeah, they
from
are.
historical drilling. I have like whenever people look at the grades in the south, they're like the eyes really pop out, especially when you consider that it's also within a mine permit. We have a fully owned and permitted mill, specifically well designed for that type of grade. We have 25 kilometers of underground development in the south already in place. We have power lines connecting all of those portals. The high-grade veins are basically accessible via the underground workings as well. So it's really a great setup. And I think this combination, it's almost really like two effectively it's two projects when you really think about it. We have the north where we have this bulk tonnage potential. We have a goal to get it to 5 million ounces. There's potential for, a lot more. And then we have the Cassiar South with these very juicy high grade veins that actually could be a near-term development opportunity. And actually, when you put these two together, you can imagine how the South can actually be moved along. Maybe the South is not going to be a place where you're going to find 5 million ounces because it's really hard to define these high-grade veins. It takes a lot of drilling, but it can get you to the cash flow to then fund the development of the North. So that's makes a project very, very unique and
It's good to have options too, which
Yeah,
you have.
a lot of optionality on this project. A lot of optionality.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Marco, if people want to do more due diligence about you guys, how do they find you? If they want to buy you, what exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols?
Yeah, so you can find the company, like the website has a lot of information. We have like from technical presentations to long presentations to short presentations, virtual tours. For 3101, there's a lot of information there. It's very complete, so I'll invite everyone to have a look at that. CastiarGold.com, CastiarGold.com. We trade on the TSXV as GLDC. We trade in the U.S. On the OTCQX as a CGLCF. We also trade in Frankfurt as well. And we can kind of reach out to us at any time. We have like our investor relations team available to answer any questions that may arise. We're here to educate people. We have a kind of unique project. It's because there's so much optionality. There's past production, there's high grade, there's bulk tonnage, there's infrastructure, there's permits. It's a project, it will take you at least half an hour to get really understanding what it is, but it's a worth half an hour because then you're going to be able, if you really take the time, you're going to be able to recognize the value as a lot of people are doing that right now. And then you can look at the other projects and think, well, this one really provides a re-rating opportunity that is, in terms of potential, substantially higher than many of our peers.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Marco, I'd love to have you on again in the near future, maybe the next few weeks, as 2 to 4 weeks as things progress. And yeah, it's always a pleasure. And again, full disclosure to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor. A happy investor, as well as Cassiar Gold is a sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. Just full disclosure. Thanks, Marco. Let's have you on again soon.
Thank you, Andy. Pleasure to be here.